Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Louie. Oh, oh. When I'm looking at you, I keep thinking, why can't she be like you? So I'm scheming, I can't go on like this, believing that her love is true.
Yeah. is House Music 101 Radio.
You never used to be the kind to hold back on what you say. Here you are in your own time. Hey, you thought you got it started. You thought you really had a hold on me. Now you're disappointed and you stop to wonder why. Hey, you unsophisticated slang. Such a crazy fool. Think you're feeling the best, whatever settle for less. Ain't got time for your games, just to play your boy, you got yourself to blame. Should have come as no surprise. I could see it in your eyes.
Should have come as no surprise. course. You love rock and roll? Hip-hop, R&B? I love gospel, funk, and blues. As a matter of fact, my favorite style of music is the blues. I like singing the blues because the blues is a way for me to really express myself. When I really want to get something out of my chest, I put it in the form of a blues record, just like the one I'm getting ready to sing for you. I had to go through some things to sing that song, though, so when I wrote it, I directed this first part to a person who was trying to stifle me in my artistry. I told him like this, I said, you can make the kind of music you want to make, but let me make the kind of music that I want to make. There's enough room out there for everybody, even a little old girl like me, don't you say? As a matter of fact, go on, let's go and play.
I gotta sing the blues, yeah.
take away my jaw, but I said never again will I let them do that. And that's why I'm up here singing the blues. And now play the blues for me just a little bit louder.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Chef Rob Show. Sitting here with my buddy Terrell, talking about a few things. You know, I'm glad you're here, man. I want to talk about that incarceration thing, man. Start at any point, man.
Man, incarceration. Modern day slave, to sum it up.
Modern day slavery.
Modern day slave. There is still slaves in America. You believe that?
Well, what makes them a slave, man?
Okay. How much you get paid if you get just a regular 9-to-5 job in the streets? Just anywhere. Let's say minimum wage. What's minimum wage now? $8.25 or something like that?
I don't know. I've been beating the system for a minute.
Okay, well, I think minimum wage between $8.25 and $8.75, but while you're incarcerated, you can get up to $1.72 a day.
A day?
A day. Mm-hmm. If you go to school, you get approximately 11 cents per day.
11 cents?
Per day. Not per hour, per day. Which somewhere roughly gives you roughly, what, $14.99, $15 a month.
But slaves can get paid. Okay, so to clarify it, let me know what you mean by modern-day slavery.
Modern-day slavery, okay. Back 300-400 years ago, well, I ain't gonna even say it wasn't that long when we were still slaves. We're going to say 1920s and when we was out there picking cotton. Picking cotton, nah.
That's a skill lost.
That was free. That was just free. You had to do that just to live or they beat you to death, you know, shot you, cut you, did whatever. But now, with the government that you have, they just can't say you a slave. But they can say, oh, you a ward of the state. Since you're a ward of the state, we have to make sure we feed you, house you, and clothe you. But they're not going to tell you that for us to feed you, house you, and clothe you, we have to pay for that up front. So since they say they have to pay for that up front, okay. You take that money out of what you're going to give me, but then you give me 11 cents a day. Okay, well, in my case, when I was incarcerated, I got 72 cents a day, which roughly came out to $40 a month. And
so they give you a check when you left?
Every month, they have what you call state pay. State pay, yeah. That's what they call it, state pay.
Yeah, like welfare. It's not employment. It's like welfare. What is that?
If they want you to clean the toilet, if you're a janitor or a porter, you have to clean up whatever unit you're in. That means the unit showers, the unit toilets. Yeah, yeah. All of that. And you also have to keep your cell upkeep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yeah, that's nasty, ain't it? Yeah. It's fucked up is what it is.
I was trying not to say that.
I was fortunate. I didn't have that type of job. I actually had a flow maintenance job, which paid me a little more per month. And I promise you, it was ugly.
How ugly?
How ugly? Think of someone 20 years old chewing tobacco under his lip, and he want to talk to you. Hey, you convict, clean up that floor. I just made a mess. Kind of shit is that? Yeah. And then if you don't do it, they write you a ticket for disobeying a direct order. Like I'm in the military. Yeah.
Well, military treats you a little bit differently. But it still can be degrading in the beginning.
Degrading.
Yeah.
But that's your status the entire time you're there. Not just for a little while. That's not no boot camp or no. That's what it is, period. And, man. Wow. The shit you have to go through, man. For $40 a month. I got a wax flow.
Okay, so the, like in the military, they call it reveille. So you wake up at a certain hour, get up at a certain hour.
Well, in prison, it's not quite like that. Because in prison, you got a choice to a certain degree. Now, if you in the cell, you might have a cellmate. You might not have a cellmate. But if you don't have a cellmate and you in your cell, hell, if you have everything you need inside your cell, you don't have to come out of it. It's only two people. If you have a cellmate, there's only two people outside the guards and the warden and everybody, the staff, who has the key to your cell. No one can get in there without you or your cellmate. So you don't have to come out of there if you don't want to. You don't have to go to the eat their breakfast. You don't have to go eat their lunch. You don't have to go eat their dinner. On no time if you don't want to. But they got to see that you're eating, because if they see that you're not eating, then it's going to become a problem for you.
What's the problem?
Because they'll say you're going on a hunger strike. And
so how do they force feed you? I mean,
they won't force feed you.
So what do they do?
Send your ass over to an infirmary and strap you to a bed and put an IV in your arm.
That's force feed.
Okay, well, they just pump your ass full of saline. The fuck? That's not feeding nobody. They just pump you full of water. What the fuck you mean? I don't know what you talk. They gonna keep your ass just alive to get their little money that they want. Now, each inmate, per inmate, the institution receives $72,000 per annual year. Period. That's what they get to feed, house, and clothe your ass. Per year. That is per inmate. So if they got 2,000 inmates in there, you times that 72,000 by 2,000.
Good money.
Do you see that? But they pay your ass $15 a month if
you
want for
it. Hold on, let me see. I think I'm gonna need to develop me a private prison, lock some motherfuckers up.
Yeah.
I think so.
The city of Ina, Illinois. The city of Ina. That's exactly what they did. All of the taxpaying citizens in that city.
So they're just locking up Negroes.
No. This is what they did. They went to the government, they aldermen, and told them, look, build the motherfucking prison here. And you know what they did? Told them, y'all come up with the money to build that motherfucker, and we'll build it. And that's what they did. Mount Sterling Correctional, or Western Illinois Correctional Center, Big Muddy River Correctional Center.
Oh, yeah, that Big Muddy. Oh, I've been down there.
Ina, Illinois. Listen to me.
The city
paid for that. The city. And guess what? If you think I'm bullshitting, Western Illinois Correctional Center is the institution that they process all of the meat that your ass eat in all what? We have 37 now. We have 30,
wait a minute.
Or 38.
Wait a minute, the prisoners processing the meat? You got shit.
Yeah.
You damn convicts touching
are
my
you
food?
Serious? Oh, no. I'm not talking about the meat that you guys are eating. No, the meat that all of the inmates are eating.
Oh, you had me worried there.
Now, the food that the inmates are eating, that food, the meat, the hamburger that you're getting, the all of the ground beef, the pork and all of that. Sometimes you might even get a motherfucking ground up horse or two in there. You might not know it. We call it all kinds of shit. We call it Christmas meat. All I eat is the chicken.
You know, somebody told me something a while back, right? They told me that a few of the inmates got ground up in there.
Well,
is that,
you know,
possible?
What?
How is that possible?
At the time, I ain't going to say now. Now, motherfucker, you dead. You ain't finna put no motherfucking body in no ground in no penitentiary right now. The system has took their prisons back. There was a time where the system did not run the damn penitentiaries. If they didn't want to riot, the warden and the governor of that city or state had to motherfucker, look, we don't need no, well, talk to them gangbanging motherfuckers, because guess what? If we don't give these motherfuckers these cell phones that they don't want nobody to know about and this and that, they going to tear this motherfucker up now. We had to kill 30,000 motherfuckers. We got 2,000 inmates. If we kill 2,000, how are we going to justify that shit properly? They can't justify killing the whole prison.
Yes, they can.
No, they can't. Not even with martial law. That's a hate crime. They just can't go in there because they're inmates.
Okay, so
we do have rights, even though we're incarcerated.
Yeah, but they don't really give a damn about your rights. You should know that better.
That's what they say. How are you going to justify that shit? They cannot
justify it to who? what I see is
okay.
Even what the prison system is fucked up already.
People that
come back, man. Come back.
Right. That fucked me up.
I told you, watch out, man.
Let me tell you something. You go over to a stadium or anybody's stadium, right? You lock all of the doors where can't nobody get out, and you just start shooting motherfuckers and killing them, right?
Did they do that at the theater recently?
Okay, yeah, but they did that, but guess what? They going to fry that motherfucker. He want to be the judge. They going to fry his ass.
But
and guess what? They can justify killing him. You
but
know
you,
why?
But if you in prison, I mean, they didn't see you as being a hostile threat, and they were trying to protect their lives.
How?
I just told you that.
Inmates killing each other.
Oh,
how you going to justify? Because they're killing each other, you're going to kill them all?
Well, we had to go ahead and stop you.
Unjustified. You know why it's unjustified?
It is.
Because they still have rights. They still humans. If they want to kill each other, let them do it.
But, yeah, you got weapons, and you've been hostile. Weapons, and you're violent.
Guys, okay, you can be violent as you want. They made me violent.
That still don't justify your actions?
They do justify my actions.
Come on.
It justifies cutting one of the motherfuckers' necks. Justifies them spitting in my face, calling me nigga, telling me to clean up shit. What the fuck do you mean, nigga? I'm a grown man.
Somebody spit on you already?
Spit on you. When they talk to you, they spit every last one of the motherfuckers.
So they didn't just hock a loogie on you.
And you, if they hock a loogie on you, you better not look at them wrong. Because nobody, I swear they will write your ass a ticket. You do anything that they say don't do, they write you a ticket. If you look at a female officer the wrong way, do you know they write you a ticket for? And this is, promise you.
Well, it gotta have. They gotta have.
It's reckless eyeballing. How do you reckless eyeball a motherfucker? You tell me. How do you recklessly eyeball a motherfucker? Seriously. And get in trouble for it, cause you look.
I want to try to really answer that, but they just seem like some bullshit. Look. No, man. Let me see what this is. I got somebody on the call. I hope this. Hello. The line is open. 73269. State your name. Where you calling from?
This is Jerome from Chicago.
This is Jerome. Chicago. You know what? Actually, Jerome, I wish your butt had came in a little bit early, but I'm still gonna play a clip for you because you guys were going in and pinning me down last week. But what do you think about the conversation so far?
Well, I think that interesting that we can burn off a lot of energy battling with things that we already know that is going to happen, and yet we treat it as if it should be something else. If we know it's going to happen, why would we send ourselves through that? You know, if everybody hates you, why should you hate them? You know what I mean? Just because you know they hate you, you know, that's, I don't know. That's like wasted energy. It could be used on something more positive.
Explain that. give me one of those positive things, and then also tell me about energy.
We didn't get a choice in as far as us being Afro-Americans, so that's just something that we have to live with. It doesn't mean that we have to go out and I mean, I don't have a problem with dealing with the police and dealing with whether they're white or black. You know, I've never had that issue, me myself. So I don't just go around figuring that every...
Wait a minute. Hold on, see that? You're about to start with that Jedi mind shit. I ain't going to let you do that. You know damn well I ain't going to let you do that shit. So you're going to tell me that okay, and this is what I kind of got. I could be wrong. But you trying to tell me that, you know, just because you ain't experienced racism, it don't exist?
No. I never said I have not experienced racism. I know that racism exists. I am not stupid. I wasn't born yesterday. What I'm saying is that I'm not going to go around creating racism, you know, because I feel that because I'm black, I'm going to get treated this way. That's what I'm saying.
Creating racism? Jerome, what the hell does that mean? You're not going to go around creating racism, but it's already in your face. People are already treating you like shit, so you're just going to ignore it? I mean, I don't understand what you're saying.
No, ignorance is just like you and I having a conversation here. You know, we can say that my opinion and your opinion is right or wrong, or does it have any value. I'm saying that it is what it is. You're black, you know you're black, you know you're behind the eight ball. You understand what I'm saying?
Keep going, I'm listening. I'm waiting to hear it. Go ahead, keep going.
I'm saying that I'm not going to waste, I've been victim of racism. You know, does it mean that I hate everybody? No, it doesn't mean that. Life goes on. I get racism right from my own people.
Oh, okay. Okay, so...
No Jedi mind trick either.
Yeah, it is some old Jedi mind bullshit. What the hell I tell your ass?
Well, I'm just speaking my mind. Do I have a mind? I mean, you know, can I...
Hell no.
Nah.
You, in a nutshell, you trying to tell me to love the motherfuckers who treat me like shit. And I ain't got that love no more. I ain't got no more patience.
Well, should I love my own people if they treat me that way?
Look, what I tell you, man.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
It's a question.
You lucky I ain't close to you because you know I am boxing the top of your head saying that crazy shit.
And that's no Jedi mind trick.
That is some old Jedi. What the hell I just tell you, man? Look here, I'm not going to keep on loving motherfuckers. No. I'm not going to even love motherfuckers who don't love me. Fuck them. So I'm going to go ahead and turn my back on them. And if I feel you getting close, we're going to have to do something. But, hey, you know, fuck them motherfuckers, man. We got a lot of problems. We need to concentrate on ourselves and each other.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So we're not talking about, I mean, there's racism on both sides is all I'm saying.
You still miss my point. I'm still not going to go, like I said, I'm going to turn my back, but I'm still not going to go ahead and divert all my attention toward my people. I'm still keep an eye on these motherfuckers. You understand?
I feel you.
My stick, man. I wish I could hit you with this like I was trying to do the other day.
That's okay. Take it out on me. I can handle it.
I ain't got no love for them fuckers, man. None. I told you that.
I feel you.
I don't think you do. And I was trying to express to you why I feel that way. I was explaining it to you. And I was giving you some examples. And you trying to tell me to love my oppressor. I can't do that. I lost too much. I see too many people who lose stuff. I'm losing family members because of a system that's been put in place. Now, goddamn, it's totally against me. And every damn time we try to get ahead, we got them motherfuckers and we got our own going ahead throwing a monkey wrench in the program trying to go ahead and hurt.
Well, you know, you got a lot of people hurting, so what do you think about them?
Peace, man. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Say what you got to say, bro.
Okay. Black man and the white man, same credentials, same bachelor's and master's degree, go for the exact same job. Who gets the job?
Is that a question?
Yes, that's a question. Who gets the job?
We know who's going to get the job. The white man is going to get it.
Are you? I didn't hear what you said.
No, we know who's going to get it. They're going to give it to the white man.
Okay. Now, when they give it to the white man, I have the same credentials. I have the same type of family to feed. What am I to do? Keep looking and say, nah, that's messed up. But I'm supposed to love the person who's not going to love me back.
You look at the law, and if the law says that if they have violated your rights, you file.
You file through their courts, their laws, the stuff that they put in place to help them. That is not in place to help the three-fifths human, as they would so-called say the African-American is. So if I'm three-fifths human, I don't have the same rights as you. That's just not right.
Well, I mean, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying to you that it is what it is. You know,
okay, so it is what it is, so you just go ahead and settle for that, man. That's my point. Understand that. You don't stop with that Jedi, man. Stop with that Jedi mind shit. Look, just because you keep saying it is what it is, so where you go from it? Just go ahead and continue to let it go ahead and be? Or you try to go ahead and bust the system? Or what you do? What do you do?
Well, I mean, you don't make the law.
Answer my question. What do you do? You do something. Now tell me, you know some shit fucked up. So what do you do to change that?
You go through the court system and you take them to court for.
Go through the damn court system. I've been playing this game for 5 years and I'm not getting no satisfaction. So look, just deal with my situation real quick. I've been dealing with this discrimination suit for a long time. And I'm like, all I keep doing is going to get pushed back in more games. So, okay, so that's me. Now you're going to tell me how you're going to deal with my situation or the next brother who's going through something similar. How do you stop that?
You stay in the fight.
What?
You stay in the fight. That's all you can do. What else are you going to do?
You staying in the fight. Look, man, this part of the fight I don't like. This is why I take the stance I've taken, because I don't like that part of the fight. That's like stand there and go ahead, get your feet in cement, and let some motherfucker keep hitting you in the jaw as you walk by. Fuck that. Tired of that shit.
Hold on, brother.
Let me see. I got another call.
Okay.
I'm going to get you, man. I'm going to get you. I'm going to see you on Thursday. 313-282. Is that you?
No.
Not me.
That's Brother John.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, my bad, brother. How you doing, Brother Rob?
Hey, man, how you feeling, man?
I'm doing all right. Listening to the conversation. Peace to all the brothers on the line and to any sisters as well. I don't know if there are any on, but peace to everybody on the line. I wanted to ask the brother who was speaking about racism a couple of questions. I think he made a comment about there's racism on all sides. First of all, would that be correct? Is that what you said, my brother?
I would say so. Yes, I would.
Sorry,
say that.
I couldn't hear you, my brother.
Yes. Somebody's trying to call me. That's why I was going in and out. Yes, I would say so. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry, I can't understand you, brother.
Yes, I would say so, yes.
Yes, you said yes? Okay. Okay, well, that's pretty interesting. And so are you of the opinion that black people are racist?
Well, I mean, what defines racism? Yes, I would say black racism just as much as white.
Okay, can you give me one example of any black people in the world that oppress another race of people?
Well, I don't understand what you mean.
By oppressed, I mean denying anybody freedom of religion, freedom of education, freedom of good health care, freedom of good housing, freedom of upward mobility in society. Is there anywhere on the planet where black people do oppress people, race of people anywhere on the planet?
I mean, when you're oppressing your own, you're oppressing others. I mean, it's the same thing we're saying here
that I'm asking. Okay, well, can you give me?
Yeah, Yeah, the example is that we have an educational system, and you have people that come through that educational system are not there to make sure that other people get an education. That's, you know, that's discriminating right there. If you don't want to get education, don't go up in the school.
Hold on. I think you're answering another question. My question, I want to be real clear. My question was, can you give me one example?
Hold on a minute. Jerome, didn't I tell you no with none of that Jedi mind shit? Now, that brother asked you a specific question, and you get the Jedi mind shit. Didn't I ask you not to do that, brother?
Work with me here.
Well, listen,
brother Jerome, I asked what he asked. Are there any place on this planet where black folks are oppressing other black folks? Are there any other place like that? Black folks oppressing?
No, black people oppressing another race of people. That's
another
what
anybody.
Is.
Yeah, what? Anybody.
Right here in America.
What?
I mean, where in America? Can you give me
Lord.
A place?
Lord, name me one state, one place, one city, one county, one district where there is black people oppressing other black people. If you can name me that, I will tip my hat. And we're going to say just in America. Just the United States of America.
Yeah.
Show me one. No, and when he said anywhere, if you go to any country, any continent, there is nowhere where black people are oppressing black people.
Or any other race.
Or any other race in the world. In the world.
Any other race. It might be a... And oppressing other black folks, there may be some, but not oppressing another race. That's the thing. What Brother John's trying to get to, I think this is what he's trying to tell you. It's like, hey, just like Europeans are going ahead and holding black folks down, you cannot deny it. Okay, so any other place where black folks are holding another race of people down, similar to what we're experiencing here, or do you feel that we're being oppressed?
Yeah, I definitely do.
Okay.
Hey, Brother Rob, can I make a comment?
Yes, sir, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think, you know, it seems to be some confusion in the terms and the terminology we use. And the brother is saying racism, but it's impossible to practice racism against your own race. That would not be racism. That's something else. We can call that backbiting. We could even label that oppression, but that wouldn't be racism. And so I'm of the opinion, just to be upfront and honest, that there's racism is white supremacy, and white supremacy is racism. There's no other form of racism that exists on the planet. I've never seen any other race oppressing people solely on the basis of their race. That's only, you only see that among white people. So when you say that everybody's practicing racism, I would disagree. If he's saying that black people participate in racism, participating in the oppression of us, I would agree. You know, you do have that. You know, all black Republicans are even Democrats are participating in our oppression. Even go to Africa and to the Congo, where black people have, most of those black people never even seen a white person, and they over there oppressing each other, you know, cutting each other arms off and stuff. But usually, in almost all cases where you see black-on-black oppression, the people doing the oppression usually work for white people. It is very, very rare when you get independent black people out here, and it could even be debated whether or not there are any independent black powers out here. So, you know, I think it does all lead back to white people. I'm of the opinion that white people are the problem. But I'm really interested in hearing the brother's opinion and hearing a clear answer, because I don't want to attack the brother, because I think these are very, very important discussions to have amongst each other, because black people rarely ever talk about racism. And when we do, it's really, really confusing. So I want the brother to be clear and just give me one example of black people who practice racism.
Well, I mean, I think maybe the definition of racism may
be... Well, what is your working definition of racism, first of all?
My working definition is that when you attack another person because of their race.
Okay, great.
You know,
I would agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, and not because of who the person is, because
right.
I'm a black man, and hey, you know, I try to be right. So that's my opinion of what racism is. If you're attacking a person because of their race.
Yes. Well, we have similar working definitions. So now that we're clear on the definition of racism, can you give me one example of black people anywhere around the world that oppress people because of their race?
Well, I mean, I've never been to any other country, so I can't speak. I would say right here in America.
Where in America do black people oppress another group of people because of
their
race?
Well, when you say oppressed, you mean what? Is that
when I say oppressed, well, let me first say that my working definition for racism is similar to yours, although I go a step farther. I would classify it as a global system. And so first is a system. And second, it's global, and so it's everywhere. No matter what country you go to, you find white people on top of the society oppressing black people or people of color, not just black people, all people, even some of their own people. But I wouldn't consider white-on-white crime racism. But so my definition of racism is a global system of oppression of a people because of their race. So here in America, when I say, can you give me an example of black people oppressing another group of people because of their race, I'm meaning oppressing by denial of freedom of speech, freedom of education, freedom of religion, freedom of good housing, freedom of upward mobility in society, any of those. It doesn't even have to be all of them. Can you give me one example of black people doing any of those things? And can you name where and give me an example of it here in America?
Well, I mean, when you give all of those particulars, I mean, I would say the white man would be supreme for that. You know, I don't deny that.
I'm not asking if he's supreme. I'm asking if black people...
No, I'm saying, mm-hmm.
do that to another group of people, and can you give me an example?
I would say we just do it to ourselves. That's all. That's my interpretation.
Interesting. Hold on, brother. Let me let Brother Pianki in. I believe that's Brother Pianki. Brother Pianki, is that you?
Yeah, I guess.
Yes, 314. I got you, man. Hey, you have a question, brother? How you doing, first off? My fault. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, except it's thundering and lightning.
Ooh. How can you house it? We'll get to that later. I was going to ask you how we can house that energy, but what do you think about
I don't believe in God any damn way, so I guess I'm going to get struck.
Oh, okay.
No, right, blacks can be racist now. So don't get that in your mind. We get this wrong impression about what racism. Racism is not our problem today. Heck, I had a black guy working for me, and I found out he was going dating a white girl. I fired him. So I guess I could have been considered as a racist. But without giving in details, that's true. Our problem is not racism. Our problem today is white supremacy. That whites want to control everything, and black men are scared to go up against them for that control. we even let these Arabs and Asians come in our community and take over everything. And that's just punking out. But
Could I ask you a question, Baba Pianki?
Yes, sir.
First of all, greetings, sir. How are you doing today? Tonight.
Doing good, except with lightning is knocking out my internet.
Yes, sir. Well, you say our problem is not racism, it's white supremacy. I previously said my working definition for white supremacy is racism, and my working definition for racism is white supremacy. I think they're one and the same. Now, you say that black people can be racist. I would like to ask you the same question I asked the other brother. Is there anywhere, can you give me an example of a functioning form of black racism that oppresses another group of people anywhere on the planet?
Well, they don't have to oppress. See, racism has evolved into a whole different meaning today. And I know that y'all listen to, you know, two individuals who I respect, but I think that they use that term. See, racism, when I was coming up, I wasn't no whites in our neighborhood. There was no white women, was no white food, was no white dress. Only time we had to go to whites is when we needed a job. And that's, at that point in time, they was able to demonstrate racism.
All right.
I went to a group, I've told this story, a group of brothers went to Union Pacific to put in an application for a job. They were, you know, in the neighborhood, so I went with them. And while they were filling out an application, I asked the white gentleman, I said, could I have an application to fill out too? I think I was about 16 years old. I don't remember how old I was. But he asked me, he said, well, have you ever bumped your leg on a corner of a table? I said, yes. He said, have you ever bumped your elbow? I said, yes. He said, well, that would have left a calcium deposit, which would disqualify you for this job. And I just took it for that. But that was racism because he prevented me from having access to a job, whereas I could better my financial and economic and livelihood. At that time, I wasn't asking to date his daughter. I wasn't asking to live next to him. So, you know, we had our own women. We had our own food. We had our own dance. So that, for us, was racism.
Yes, sir. Just for clarity, is that a black or a white man you're speaking of who denied you the job?
That was a white man.
Okay, okay.
That was a white person who was denying us, you know, working at a Union Pacific. So he demonstrated racism. Racism was an economic issue for us back in that time. We didn't have any other reason. There was no social aspect to it like today. You talk about holding hands and getting along and all that old crazy stuff. Then white supremacy has nothing to do with the Klan, the Aryan Nation, or skinheads. White supremacy is what you see going on in Iran, not Iran, but Iraq, Afghanistan. That old term, manifest destiny. They want to control everything, and that
is
one thing
that
we can. Well, no, not really. They are in a certain, but on the real level, you know, there's two different levels of it. There's the level that we have interaction with people every day. For instance, here they had this bridge project, Mississippi River Bridge Project, whereas rather than hire a drug tested and skilled, trained black workers in East St. Louis, they were commuting whites in from other areas of the region, in Illinois and so forth, and they would only hire so many blacks. So they was demonstrating racism at that point in time. But once that job is over, I don't want to live next to them. I like where I'm living. And I'm going to tell you something else. There's some Negroes I don't want to live next to neither.
Hey, Bubba Pianchi, hold on just a minute. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
This is Brother Terrell, excuse myself. As we said before, you still haven't answered the question of where there is black people being the oppressor to any other race.
Well, I gave you an example of how a black person can demonstrate, express racism toward a white, because you got blacks that hire whites nowadays, not nowhere near should be, but there's more than you would ever imagine. In other countries they can, you know, this is going on in South Africa, but not here in America, no. Not that I know of.
Well, see, Jerome said it was going on here in America. So, Jerome, just give me an example of where it's going on here in America.
No, I think he just answered that. There are.
No, you answer that. Give me an example. What, give me your example.
Well, just as he said, there are blacks that are now hiring whites and Latinos and other races.
You say blacks that are not hiring whites or Latinos?
No, I said that they are hiring.
Okay, how is that racism?
Well, because shouldn't you hire your own?
Well, no, that ain't racism. Racism is when you if you was to get away, prevent them from having access to their job,
right.
What we call it illegally nowadays.
Right.
Now, I'll tell you another case how blacks oppress
well,
blacks.
That's happening. Mexicans are getting the jobs over blacks, whether or not they're qualified or not. That's still racism.
Well, that ain't racism.
Right.
Well, I'm just saying
that
we're not.
The racism that if black man that's qualified, same as a white man.
Yeah, okay. Or Mexican.
Same kids, same type of mortgage and everything, but they go for a job, and it's a white man who's hiring. If he hires the white man because that's his people, is that racism because he don't hire the black man?
Is that a question? All I'm saying is just what he said, that if you're hiring, if I know a company right now that what they've started to do now, they're black-owned, but now they hire Mexicans. Now, their reason for hiring, whether or not it's white or not, there is racism.
Well, that ain't racism. That's discrimination. But that's what you're saying. Well, actually, that's just a decision. But the thing is if a black came and attempted to get a job and they took their application through it in a trash can, then that right then can be considered an act of racism.
Yeah, that's an agreement. I agree with you there.
Now, some discrimination is good and some prejudice is good. Ain't nothing wrong with being discriminatory and being prejudiced just so long you don't violate somebody's civil rights.
Well, that's why I say sometimes the words can get misconstrued of whether or not it's racism. But like you said, now it's discrimination. And then we said it was supreme. So there's three different things going around, you know.
I think he's saying that there are three different things as far as prejudice, discrimination, and racism.
Well,
I don't think he's conflating, though. But Baba Pianchi, could I ask you a question, sir?
Yes, sir.
This is Brother Josh Stan Elevated again. When you came on, you mentioned that black people could practice racism, and you gave an example of a young man you fired. I would argue that that's not racism because it does not oppress that white person in any way. It's probably, you know, it's a hard knock for the young brother who was dating a white sister. But you said that that would be considered racism, and I'm just trying to get clarity and understanding on that. And in your opinion, how would firing that black man be racist?
Well, because I denied him an opportunity to better himself financially and economically. That would be
but
racism.
Not because of his
racism. Racism used to be, listen to me, racism used to be pure about economics then, back in them days.
Sure.
Because we had to go to white folks to get jobs. I mean, that was the only people we can get jobs from. We didn't own no businesses, to say. And when they wouldn't hire you, and when they would do the things that they do to keep you from being able to work and earn a living, at that point in time, and oh, see, we were segregated back in them days. We didn't have no white neighbors.
Right.
Only time you reacted to them was in my area was when you had to go get a job from them, and that's what we considered as racist then. That was
yes,
them
sir.
Acting out by them saying that they didn't want you to. Now, when they didn't want you to go, it's a like the thing that went on in Arkansas with the school and so forth. Now, yes, that was racism when they wouldn't let the black children come into the high school.
Correct.
Okay. That's racist because the children cannot go to the place where they can get the skills that they needed to better themselves. How about the time when Imus called the women's basketball player nappy-headed hoes? That was not racism. The girls was already going to the school.
Right.
That was
a
stupid statement. Now, the reason I tell you all this, because we got to get out of this thing about white folks is stopping us from doing the things that we need to be doing. We need to say to hell with, don't even worry about them. We just got to do what we got to do, and we can do that. can't let these white. I mean, we already proved ourselves that we're better in many areas. I mean, white people say white supremacists when they think they're better. That ain't got shit to do with it. They want to control everything. And guess what? Chinese gonna be Chinese supremacists. Arabs gonna be Arab supremacists, and we're gonna be calling them racist one of these days if we don't get on and do what we do need to be doing.
Yes, sir. Well, Baba Pian, I think we're actually in agreement most of the way. I agree with much of what you say. I don't think that accurately defining a system or accurately defining a global system of racism is saying that we don't have our own responsibilities and we don't have to have a proper and logical response to it. I think we are in agreement on that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always taught that there's a difference between separation and segregation. Separation is when two people mutually agree to go their own ways. But segregation is when one person is forced into a situation, forced to go their own way, or forced to be oppressed by the person that's doing the segregating. And so you mentioned that you grew up in segregation, but the only way white people could really practice racism was economic, as far as gaining a job. Now I would agree with you that is part of it and definitely is major. I would also argue though that segregation was more than just upward mobility as far as jobs. The schools that we went to, they were. I'm not for integration. Let me say that I am for separation.
You for economic integration. Now I understand what you're saying, because you would love to be able to be a manufacturer and sell to everybody. But go ahead, I know what you're saying.
Well, not necessarily. Although, if we're talking about, you know, being a manufacturer and selling to people, then yes, that's business. I have no problem taking white folks' money. They take my money, and so I ain't got no
that's
problem
right.
taking care. So we agree. I am a economic integrationist in that sense. But really what I was trying to get at was that we were also – it was really as far as economics, and they kind of merge with each other. All of these different systems, because it merges with education as well. I'm pretty sure while you were segregated, you had black teachers and went to school with other black kids, and that was a good
mm-hmm.
thing. But the problem, at least how it seems to me, was that the tax money we were paying wasn't going to our schools. It was going
absolutely
to white
right.
schools.
It wasn't equal. It wasn't
right.
equal.
Absolutely. So I would consider that as an act of racism, an act of white aggression. And white supremacy, I don't think that means it's they are supreme. I think that they think they are supreme.
Yeah, that
that's
wasn't
why they do this.
That wasn't white supremacy. In 1954, black teachers was not arguing about the fact that they wanted to be integrated. They was arguing that they wasn't getting paid the same amount that white teachers were.
Great.
Then you had these organizations in the court that took it to a whole different level. Just like you've seen with this decision on the health care with the Roberts Court, where he took it to a whole different level. So, I enjoy separate, but Plessy versus Ferguson. Only thing is that why come they didn't work on the not being equal? That's what should have been worked on rather than the separate. Today, people segregate themselves.
Exactly.
I have the ability to move. Yeah, I have the ability to move in any community I want to. I prefer living around black folks, even though it's detrimental. I get windows broken out every now and then with kids playing ball.
No doubt. Great. Well, sir, you say that it sounds like you have a different working definition for racism and white supremacy. What are the differences between the two to you?
Well, that's because of my experiences. Everybody brings different experiences to the table. And my travels, especially my business experiences. And I'm here to tell you that we're looking at it the wrong way. We have to compete against them, and we're not doing it. Talking white has nothing to do with the way you use words, the way you pronounce and form sentences. It has nothing, talking white has nothing to do about grammar and diction. Talking white is when a group of black men is sitting around a table and discussing offshore oil well drilling, when they're discussing equity financing, when they're discussing leverage buyouts, when they're discussing sanctions and boycotts. That's talking white.
I agree with you. Well, you know, well, Baba, it seems like, you know, we have a disagreement on racism and white supremacy being two different things. But everything else you said, I agree with. So you know, anybody else can ask a question if they would like to.
Take your point. What was his name? Bianchi. Brother Bianchi.
Yes, sir.
So I see you missed one, because as you was, well, I agree with what you were saying, but they don't just do as you said. They do mass takeovers, and I mean, they just put you down because they have the money power to do things. As far as the black
men,
they
do, but you know, I'm gonna tell you something. You know, I'm gonna tell you something else too. A lot of stuff that we are so sensitive and emotional to about how we was being treated. Black folks ain't the only people in history that's been treated. You know, French men could not vote if they did not have own property. 30 years ago, South Koreans were doing a whole lot worse than we are doing here in America. The poorest of our poor was not as poor as South Koreans, and look at where they are today.
But
so don't
the South Koreans had to do that because of what the South Koreans had did. That had nothing to do with us. And
well, I agree with that, but I'm saying as far as on a level, you know, let me tell you something else. Let's look at this thing that they talk about, food stamps, for instance. And see, black people oppress black people. What went on with the Chicago strike, that's black folks oppressing black folks, black being tied up into this organization. But let me tell you something else. You talk about food stamps. Black people in America, their poverty numbers are 24.7%.
24?
Black people, 24.7% of the black population is under what they consider as being poverty. But check this out. Only 22% of black people receive food stamps. Now, listen at this. 37.5% of white folks receive food stamps, 79 million of them. But only 10% of white folks are legally living below the poverty range. How in the hell is that? How do 37% of whites get food stamps where 10% of them is in poverty, where 24.7% of blacks is in poverty, and only 22% of them get food stamps? It seems like
you know
got
what?
A more even balance
you know what,
there
brother?
Than you do with whites. Yeah.
You know what? That exact same question I looked at myself, and when I looked at the situation, if you really look, you will see that 34% you said, was it 34%?
37.5% receive food stamps.
Food stamps. Now, mind you, that 34% includes the men. That includes the men who also get food stamps for the white people. Now, if you go back to that 22%, that 22% for the African American, as they say, black people, is all women, no men.
Well, here's the point. What is the criteria for receiving food stamps? What is the criteria for being living beneath the poverty level? How is it that whites can?
I can't answer that for other states, but I can say for the state of Illinois, I can say for that the state of poverty level is, for the most part, being almost homeless. If you almost homeless, they might give you some food. They might. I mean, and that's male or female. But the male, if he can't prove anything, like if he don't have, you know, well, look, I'm homeless. I was staying here and I was staying there. He gunned. He ain't going to get no food stamps unless he's staying in the shelter. But if a white man go in there in this exact same circumstance,
they'll give him food stamps, what they call emergency food stamps, they'll give him some right away.
Well, I don't want to get off of Chef Rob's topic, so I'll leave them food stamps alone.
No, it's just my conversation with my friends, bro.
But no, man, we got to the hell with them damn that racism. I mean, we just got to go ahead and do what we got to do. Ain't nobody stopping us from doing what we have to do. I mean, there's some obstacles out there. It ain't all that easy, but I don't see where we even put in the effort like we should. I mean, when you got people that can come from 12 time zones away, coming from all sorts of things that we hear about them, and open up businesses and gas stations and all that stuff in your community. Here in St. Louis, they had 80,000 Bosnians, refugees, were put here in this area. Ain't none of them unemployed. One refugee got 100 taxi cabs that he operated in his own community with his own people. So
and
I
you was born here and you ain't got not even a quarter of that, right?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. But we have the ability to have those things. We're just not doing it for some reason or another. I don't know if we're scared or what.
But how about the brothers that do it, who do start businesses, legitimate businesses, do their taxes every year, and don't succeed? Because them, as I call them, them, all they do is say, nope, you need this permit, you need this. Okay, you get this and that permit, and then they ask you for another damn permit that you can't even find. I ain't never even heard of this. I own a damn barbershop. How is it that I need this, and I don't even have I don't cook, but I need this type of permit. What kind of shit is that?
You know, funny you mentioned barbershop. Out of the top 10 professions that blacks are participating in, barbershop is number one. But I'm not down. But there are a lot of African Americans that's doing a lot of wonderful things. I'm not going to take that from them, but it's just not enough. And not only men, but women too. They're doing some wonderful things business wise, but they're just not doing it. They need to have more of them.
Okay. That hair stuff, that is a big thing here. Black people need their haircut.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of people complaining about, you know, blacks are not going ahead and taking control of the hair stuff. But what I see is like some barbers and some other, you know, hair salons, you know, I've seen it where people there are trying to go ahead and take more control over the products that they also using in the places. And that, I wanted to bring that up to a few people because they keep saying, why don't we take more control of like the business part of it where the Koreans are controlling, supplying everything to them. And I see some blacks that are also trying to take care of that.
But they got to make it. They can't be buying it from the Koreans now. Them people ain't stupid. They ain't going to be selling you at the same price they sell to their cousins.
No, exactly. I get that. But I see people trying to go ahead and actually go ahead and push some stuff.
We have to make that stuff. We got to utilize West Africa. Look, they got cheap labor. That's one thing. That's what Obama said in the speech. He says nowhere in the world we can compete with their labor. Their labor is they live a lot. They live off of a lot less than what Americans do here.
Wait a minute. You mean labor in West Africa?
No, he's talking about, he was speaking about Asians.
Oh, Asians. Oh, okay.
But labor in West Africa is cheaper than it is in China because China is starting to create a middle class.
Yeah, I've seen that. And what is it? Oh, is it Shanghai?
Thailand and Bangkok and all of them places.
What is it? Shanghai?
They got more millionaires than you have here in the United States. So that's something that, I mean, you can't stop them. That's what they're going to do.
To get a foothold on that whole thing here.
Rob, you can't buy stuff from, you can't buy wholesale from a group and turn around and go try to compete against them retail, selling what you get from them wholesale. They're gonna protect their own. I mean, that's the protection. It's just like copyrights, trademarks, intellectual property rights. Those are protections. that countries put in place. The United States do it very well. A foreigner cannot sit on the board of a bank here in the United States. They don't allow this stuff. They may now, but it was one time they didn't allow that stuff. If you, if you was manufacturing something, and the other brother was from France, he tried to come into this country and selling what you manufactured, they would impose tariffs on it, whereas he would have to sell it higher than what you sell it here. So that's the way people, that's the way countries protect their own.
You know what? Like a whole lot of stuff, and education is one of our biggest problems. So it just decreases our level. Brother Jerome, you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, you know, and without telling everybody exactly what you do, you can tell everybody later. But and because you talk to a lot of people. Okay, so what is the, you come across a lot of people, what is their, like, their highest skill level? I mean, you come across, like, any nuclear physicists or things like that?
Well, I had a female doctor. She was Indian. And she was ran off by the medical society for, she's part of my program. Of course, you know my program, but.
Yeah.
Because she was trying to expose the our system as far as people getting service per income. And she felt that no matter who they, whatever their financial situation, they should be able to get service. So she wrote a book on the how the medical system is killing people. So, I mean, she actually was part of my program, and it's funny that you mentioned food stamps, and I'm not sure how she pulled it off. She was getting $1,000 in stamps per month.
Really?
A food stamp program. Yeah. It's weird. And she would come, and she would just take it and give it away. You know, she would, you know.
Man, you didn't hook me up. You know, come on. Wait, stop.
Well, that's what he just said. You know, this.
You know, I'll be trying, you know, man, come on, man. Now, you know, I'm trying to do my little thing with my foundation, my fundraisers, and you got access to that, man. I'm going to have to get with you. But go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, and I think that I'm with the brother 100%. I know when I came on, I was this guy that was saying that racism was not an issue, and it is an issue. It
mm-hmm.
is what it is. And if we don't make the best of it in our lifetime, then we'll just be here complaining until we leave. And, it's not going to help. I deal with the state, and I have a state program. And they all come in on food stamps, and it's very depressing because they feel that they're being discriminated on and all this kind of stuff. And it's sad.
Okay. Brothers, I got a question for all of the people that is online right now, brothers and sisters. Do you believe that if we enlighten our own and show them that what they think is not what they think, do you honestly believe that we can rise as a people?
Well, can I answer that?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Yes.
What I would like to say is that it is from my experience, it's very hard to, how they say, teach an old dog new tricks. But if we take the time to try to take this next generation and educate them, we would stand a better chance. You know, I just say that because I work with people in the state, and a lot of them have this issue with food stamps, and they literally believe there are some of them that they don't want to get a job because they might lose their food stamps. And I've shared with them that food stamps are $50
right.
a week. You know, you're getting $200 in stamps. They don't even want to get a job because they feel that they have to give up their food stamps. So, I mean,
he's right.
It's depressing.
Yeah.
And it's also if the women who have children, when they apply for food stamps, or as they were so called, or whatever they call it, they also tell me if they can't find the baby daddies, or as they were so-called, the father of those children, they can't get them either.
Well, you know what it is with these women? They need them kids for this prison population. These private companies enter into contracts with these states, and they say that the prison has to be a minimum of 90% full. So what do they do? It's passed down to all the police municipality that you lock up people no matter what. And they going after our children. They ain't going to lock up their own. Come on, you wouldn't lock up your own daughter rather than lock up the person who live on the other side of town.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what these women are having these kids, and everything for them is just dismal. And they end up where they end up, and they end up in this system where people are making money. They use them as commodities, just like that Chicago schools strike. Well, these teachers are getting paid $80,000, $70,000, and graduating 30%, whereas you got charter schools that teachers paying $48,000, and they graduated 77%. So we exploit ourselves that way. But the kids that's dropping out, where do they end up? They end up in this other system where they use as a commodity in these prison systems, and people just make money off them. We don't never benefit from the goodness and the wealth and the knowledge that our children produce. Somebody else always benefit from them. Look at Africa. Africa producing all these great minds, but they leave and go elsewhere to work to help empower other people.
Hold on, everybody, just a minute. I got another caller. 312-794. State your name, Wayne.
Hey, it's PPC1. We all going to hell if we don't come together. That's what I was saying in the chat room. But still and all, now he was talking about the food stamps. Okay, you can work and still receive food stamps, just how much money you receive every year. But you can still work. People ain't, some people would rather get once a month check, but it ain't no black people. White people get more damn food stamps and more welfare than we will ever get in our lifetime. Because it wasn't created for us, no way. You know, so they got all of it. They've been getting it for over 80, 90 years. That's what we were created for, white people. Now, about the schooling, yeah, they went on strike, but these charter schools, they ain't nothing. These charter schools, we would like to teach them was on strike. They was trying to let everybody know. Not just all of them don't get paid no $80,000, $90,000. My son's auntie is a teacher. She don't even get nowhere near that. She's living in a studio. She's a school teacher. She don't get no $80,000 a year. She barely get $30,000. She don't get no money like that. Not all of them. You got that meeting has all kind of degrees and still some of these teachers are still going to school and paying off student loans. So these charter schools, you put your kids over. It's right around the corner from my house. You got to pay $400-something a year for your child to go there. That's tuition. You got to buy all the books. Got to pay for everything, whatever class they get. You got to buy all the stuff for every class they get. So I was going to send my son around there, around the corner. I got in there, and I see he had to pay for all the books. They want to get you in there and tell you that it's okay to get these charter schools. These charter schools ain't worth nothing. That's a lie. It ain't nothing but propaganda. Now, these public schools, my son in the public school. And he on an honor roll. He's doing damn good in the public school. So what's the difference? He ain't got to buy all these books and everything up front. Yeah, we do have to pay a graduation fee and everything. Yeah, we do have to pay an enrollment fee. Some is $200-$300 at some high school. Some is $100. Some is $150. And then they don't even give the kids tokens or nothing like that no more. When I was going to school, we had tokens and a dime. And I didn't know nothing about no doggone paying no tuition, no enrollment fee to even get into school. But another thing is this, they want to put $5 a month on our light bill just so they can hire some police officers. Let me tell you something, they want to get 14 police officers. They want to know why come all this killing is going on in Chicago. What's wrong? Why is all this killing on the west side, east side, south side? If black folks stop being so damn dumb and look at what they've done, they tore down these projects. And they knew that it was going to be killing. This ain't just started. This has been going on since 1992. It motivated. It ain't, this ain't nothing, and it ain't going to change. So they can put 1,400 cops or 14,000 cops on the line out there. They ain't going to stop none of this killing because they all the way out in the 100 killing. Some more people just got gunned up in the car out there, and one guy came out to see what was going on, and they gunned him down. So when somebody is killing, you just can't. I was on Scottish Grove a few minutes ago, about an hour ago, and they were telling us, hey, man, y'all can't stand up on these corners, come off the corners, because this guy just got shot over here, and they getting ready to come through and shoot everybody that's standing around. Huh? So this they, I don't know what y'all thought, but I live in the projects. And just because we live in the projects, I mean, we fun, you know, we got to act like the project. But when I lived there, they was all at war in there with each other. So how you expect them to live out here in these communities? They is all they done did was open up the doors of hell. Them, they don't know, but see, they did it. And these black, so-called black organizations and everybody in these black churches right here in Chicago, they was right along with it. They went right along with it to tear these projects down and throw all these black folks out in the street. And it's been killing ever since. Before the project even came down, I keep telling y'all, I've been telling y'all this for 5 years on my internet show. Before the project came down, they sent them all letters, something they had to move. When they got them letters, they came out killing. They was driving around the city, gunning folks down for nothing. For
hey,
no
Jerry.
Reason.
Hey, Jerry, let me ask you a question, man.
Yeah.
Okay, as soon as they tore down that Chicago Stadium and rebuilt this new thing here, is that when everything changed?
What Chicago Stadium? Man, hey, see what it was at this.
You know? The original stadium when it was called the Chicago Stadium when it was on the other
all street, the way back to 1970.
Henry Horner Project.
Wait a minute, this plan goes all the way back to 1970. This is was the Daley plan at first, the big Daley, the Daddy Daley. This was his plan. This is all his original plan. Is to get rid of us out this city. So this when that stadium went up, they had two stadiums going there, the new whatever stadium
over
here, regular field and all that there. But project, look, our old black leaders in Chicago was in with these motherfuckers. I keep trying to tell y'all. They knew this shit was getting ready to happen. This shit that didn't happen overnight, this was all planned. This was all
that's
planned.
What you
all
get.
These black Urban League, the NAACP, all them knew what was jumping. All these black churches in Chicago knew what was jumping. They bought into it. I saw the thing over there where on Chicago Housing, I mean on the Housing Authority, where they let the nonprofits and for-profits go in and take partnership in owning public housing. It's on my public campaign website, on Facebook. It's on there where they gave all these nonprofit organizations all these doggone CHA and public house properties. They got them. And they got to renew everything 2015. So this, we got to understand, it's not the white man that's always cutting our throat. We got our own so-called black leaders sitting up there at the top in the chairs with them, right next to them, cutting our throat for them.
Hey, Jerry. So you saying, too, that white and black people are racist?
Yeah, they are. I told you that. Blacks oppress black folks, too.
To our own people. Yes, we are. To our own.
Wow.
Black
to
folks,
our
listen.
Own people.
Black organizations, you can name a whole lot of them. You already done heard the name. They out there oppressing black people just as well as anybody else is doing.
Anybody
some,
else.
That's what I told you. Some of these Negroes need to be killed.
They need to be killed. But these motherfuckers are set up here, man, and they started all this shit, all these niggas here, and they're doing it. They all hooked up nationwide, not just in Chicago. All these motherfuckers is connected. All these nigger leaders and these nigger preachers, all of them is connected, man. They're not just here in Chicago. They connected in every fucking state.
Mm.
They hooked up, man. This is bullshit. And now, you
know,
we got another war getting ready to kick off here in Chicago. Now they want to put $5 on our bill so we can help them hire some damn police officers that ain't going to do shit.
Hold on, Brother Jerry.
They have every black person in Chicago going to Sunday school, and they'll still be collecting that $5.
But guess what?
From the preacher.
So ain't going to Sunday school. That's the problem. If I was in Chicago, you know what they out there doing? Trying to get some goddamn money because these niggas ain't giving us no motherfucking job.
Go ahead, brother.
Hey,
brother.
Can you
hear me?
Yeah,
I got you. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just want to make a couple comments. I agree with much of what's been said. You know, I think black organizations sold us out a long time ago. I wouldn't call that racism. I would call that, you know, collaboration with our oppressors. I think that's different. But I think he's right. But at the same time, I think, you know, I really don't blame them. I blame black people at the same time. I don't know why we still even looking at religious leaders at the church as actual leaders and political leaders, too, in society. So much of that has to do with us, not really, you know, even them or white people. That it's really the people that let that type of stuff happen. Pardon. So, but, you know, I agree with much of what's been said. You know, I do think we do need to really change our perspective. Brother asked the question earlier if we could get out of this position by teaching our kids, and I agree with much of the answers that was given. And I would say, yes, we can, although it's going to be a very long-term process. We got into this situation by being short-sighted. And so we're not going to get out of it by continuing to be short-sighted. I think we need a long-term plan. Black people need to start looking at stuff in terms of the next 100 years and where we want to be 100 years from now. And that'll give us a lot more time and a lot more flexibility to get there. But
you just said a key word. We got in this by what? Okay, we came out of slavery. What did they give us in slavery? They gave us that white man's Bible. They gave us that white man's Bible. That was the only thing that we could teach. And the only thing that we could learn from was the Bible. Who did they teach us in the Bible to fear? They teach us in the Bible. They told us that God was white. They told us to fear the white man because he was the image of God. So our people always had their heads down, even when they came out of slavery. You know, people used to tell me they couldn't even went down in the South. Some white folk were coming down the street, little bitty white boys, little bitty white girls, come down the street. They had to step out of the street and put their head down and say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, yes, 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 sir, master. So the cows don't look big, even the big white kids. So all this came straight on out when they gave us that Bible. And but, you know, you try to talk to these black people today about church and that Bible, you might as well get ready. They will kill you.
Hold on a minute, Jerry. Hey, Brother Jerome, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, did you hear what he just said?
I feel you. Yeah, I heard it.
Okay, so do you agree with what he just said?
No.
No?
No, I don't agree.
I believe that we all have, and some of us may not have, but we all have a sense of knowing what's right and what's wrong. And so if we take the words and manipulate, and there are people that manipulate the word, and they turn it into this, just like what we're talking about in the beginning, racial thing, or whether or not it's white, whether or not Jesus Christ was white, or you know, it has nothing to do with living here on this earth.
We're talking here.
It has nothing to do with it. We're all here, whether or not.
Well, you go to all white, tell them that God is not white, and they'll kill you.
But I'm just saying, hey, I mean, if you're willing to die because you're trying to figure out whether or not Jesus Christ is white or not,
the man started in the church. The man would be in the church preaching the word of God and looking at their white God, and then they'd come out the church and come kill us niggas, hang us, kill our babies and our women and children, come in our houses and kill us, and they'd be just left the church praising the Lord.
Hey, bro, you know you gotta let the man talk, though, man. Let the bro finish his sentence, bro.
All I was saying is that
what the problem is. See, so we should never get on the conversation about religion because black folks don't want to hear nothing about that Bible. Ain't none of ours. It ain't. I came out of church a long time ago. Fuck that damn Bible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
as long as you got your
head
in there, you ain't
going to
never have shit.
Well, you Brother Jerome, are you in, you understand what that brother just said?
That's his opinion. I mean, it's the same thing.
Wait, wait, don't see that some Jedi mind stuff. You got more to say.
What I was going to say is that even as he explained about the school system, about his agenda, everybody has their own agenda. You know, if his agenda is that the charter schools are no good, the teachers are no good, that's his opinion. Maybe from where he came
and,
from.
Man, teachers doing good up here. It's the point about it is that they ain't getting paid what y'all think. They ain't getting paid. Matter of fact, they came back to school to end the strike because they were running TV commercials talking about how they were disrespecting the kids by having a strike. But yet still, they ain't got nothing. They don't even have nothing they supposed to be having. Here they is, the teachers, and they got to sit up in school in the classroom, and the kids beating them up, cussing them out, and calling them all kind of bitches and hoes and everything. Man, you know, don't act like all this is new. When I was going to school, we were fighting the teachers in school. When I was going to high school, we were fighting. And man, don't act like all this is new. I'm 45 years old. Don't act like all this is new.
Is it charter or is it regular public school? Does it matter?
Listen, I was even doing it in Catholic school. And the Catholic school was even worse than public. What are you talking about? The Catholic school kids are worse than public school kids. Perverted motherfuckers all in there with their perverted ass. Them Catholic school was nasty, man. They're nasty. The kid was nasty. They're worse than public school kids. Yeah, I've been to Catholic school. I went up in there. Sure, them kids were foul. Yeah, they were smart, but they were foul, perverted kids. And man, please, we can sit here all night and day and point the blame at somebody else. We can all look for an excuse, or we can all look for an exit door. But until we accept the fact that we accepting all this and pointing that way, we got to take responsibility of our own self, what we neglect to do. Like all this killing going on when I was coming up, man, we had black men and black women that would take to the streets, hunt these niggas down and try to kill their ass and it'd be over with. Simple as that. That's how I come up. They didn't play. I was born and raised in Woodlawn. You kill a kid, they come hunt you down and they kill you and that would be it. We ain't had to worry about no getting gun up on no corners, man. We had to worry about none of that. I was going to High Park. We had to worry about nobody coming to no school gunning us down. Man, please, what's wrong with y'all? Y'all like y'all come from another city, another state somewhere. I've been right here in Chicago for 45 years. And I know this city back to the forest. I ain't never seen it like this. You know, never. You know, we always had some black men and black women. Man, sometimes the women was more stronger than the black men, to be honest with you. They would be the first ones on the mother, would be the first ones on the line. Them black women would be the first one out there throwing down, not scratching, not taking no nails, scratching you, taking their fists, busting your shit, got pistols in their hand ready to gun your ass, whatever it took to put an end to what you was doing, you was dead.
She wasn't partial to goddamn hitting your ass with one of them shanks, goddamn it, in your rib cage, real fast, sitting
plus
out there.
They had them,
got it.
Plus they had them straight razors. But you know, I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna tell y'all something. What Jerry is saying is the truth. They had the same thing here in my neighborhood too. This stuff is gangs. Listen, this stuff with gangs and this stuff that they do today, the worst stuff I knew on the streets was probably some marijuana or some heroin. But this shit where you got people, these young people going around terrorizing, that stuff was not going on back in the day. Because some men would do some ass kicking.
This is a question. Lord
Wood.
Lord
Wood. They were hunting
this
down.
This
is
Brother Tourette. All that we know these young our younger generation and the ones that we think that we need to teach, with all that being said, how do you think we can get them on the page to where the shit that they doing is not helping us? It ain't doing but putting us down to where it takes us more to get them where the fuck they need to be.
Well, you know, one of the problems is that black folks don't give up too much of their control to all these agencies, all these organizations, the police and all that. Who ever heard of your kid calling the police on you?
That's right.
I mean, it's just
you know
a
what,
crazy
brother?
Mess going on.
I was
on,
just man. Thinking about that. You listen to me? This brother Terrell, my daughter, she put a picture up on Facebook, right? She put a goddamn picture up on Facebook, and I told her that I'm finna bust her motherfucking head for putting that picture up on Facebook. Now, mind you, this is my seed.
Mm-hmm.
This is my seed. Fuck the government. Mm-hmm. They can't tell me what I can do and what I can and can't do with my seed. She called the police and told them that I threatened to bust her head. I live in a different city from my child, and, you know, the city that I live in came and arrested me because I threatened to bust my child head.
Yes. They good do that, but when we were coming up, like this brother said, when we were coming up, man, these kids walking around here with their pants down, you can see all their booty crack and everything. Our parents didn't have to beat our brains out. They whooped you down the street to your house.
You got your ass whooped from wherever they saw you at straight to your house.
Fight.
We don't do that shit.
You don't come out here dressed like that. Your mother and your father is trying to out here. They'll tell you, your mother and father out here trying to make a living for you. Look like, and when they get home, they will tell them, then they'll beat the shit out of you. But see, like you say, calling out. My oldest son got into it one time when he was about 11 years old. And he got talking about what he was going to do. He tried to jump on me. I grabbed a plastic baseball bat at his ass. I told him, I said, look, it's one way or this is going to go. Either I'm going to kill you or you're going to kill me. But I'd be damned if I let the police take me to jail. They're going to take me to jail for murder because I'm going to kill your ass. I brought you here, and I'd be damned if I let the damn streets kill you because I never was out there waiting for you. And you ain't going to like it. You ain't gonna like it. Got to go out there in them damn streets, get around the wrong people and everything, and they get to send you off, and you end up in one of them doggone penitentiaries sucking some grown man's dick, being his bitch.
Hey, that was said, on. You get arrested? Did your ass go to jail?
Ooh. Hell no,
you.
Ain't nothing to jail.
You know what? I can honestly say from a nigga back in the day, and your ass didn't go to jail, you was a lucky nigga, because guess what? I went to jail, my brother went to jail, and every goddamn body else went to jail. And guess what?
Not everybody, brother.
They locking every... If your ass ain't goddamn it... If you got pigment in your skin, they lock your ass up. And right now, for the past 25 years, and I can post statistics that clearly state that 92% of African-American men was locked the fuck up between 1994 and 2000 and motherfucking 7.
Well,
94% I ain't trying to hear that. They locked everybody up, not just the daddy, uncle, the cousin, and the sister.
No. All my uncles ain't never been to jail. There's only a few. Not all my uncles ain't never been to jail. All my aunties ain't never been to jail. So you got it wrong. You see what I'm saying? Everybody was, and we was out there. Believe me, we was in the street. But we had a village. We was out there in the streets. Talking about gang, everybody want to say gang banging. Man, we was out there doing it tough. We was out there, but shit, we had motherfuckers out there, man, that would come and sit our ass down and take it from there.
The old school did what the fuck they was supposed to do to try and pave the way. But these young motherfuckers didn't understand. When I seen 94% of African American, not just black men, but also black women, was locked up, incarcerated from 94 to 2007.
Wait.
That fucked my head up.
That 94%, does that
You know what? Why don't you tell me the statistics? You know,
hold on, Jared.
That 94%, does that include like minor infractions or for long term or short term or just got locked, just got arrested?
When I say arrested, when 94% of arrested for drunk driving, whatever the case they would want to call
when
it.
They were locked up.
I mean, it was 94% that they got convictions. I don't mean, you know, case dismissed. Convicted cases, 94% of the United States of motherfucking America, African American man, 94%. That's crazy.
You know what? You know, in spirit,
any case, you can go to the state of Tennessee. Simple as that. They
got arrested.
Pardon me. Say it again. I ain't hear you. Say it again.
They said here in Chicago today they're getting ready to pass a law that if you involved in any kind of street gang in the city of Chicago, you would not be going to the state penitentiary or juvenile. You would be going straight to the
federal penitentiary, right?
To the federal penitentiary. That's right.
Now, check this out. Now, guess what? I'm that very individual who's been there, done that. And I'm telling you right now, they're calling it a habitual criminal. If you look at the guidelines and you look at the terms that they say, they're trying to say that every single motherfucker in the city of Chicago, not just Evanston, Elgin, Rockford, Belvedere, all them other surrounding counties, Schaumburg, Bellwood, Maywood, they're trying to say if you have ever been convicted of a crime just once, they're going to put you under a habitual criminal act, and guess what? They can sentence you from 15 years to 64 years in prison, and if you do a major crime such as aggravated robbery, anything aggravated, they can charge you from 15 to life. That's the motherfucking law. And that's what they're trying to do right now. And they don't give a fuck if you ever been convicted of a domestic. You get charged of a gun crime, they finna lay you down. They laying you down. The city of Chicago ain't trying to hear. And that's what I was trying to say. The government, them motherfuckers, they don't think nothing of us. Because the people who have been convicted of crimes, who's not doing that bullshit, guess what?
Oh, they doing it.
The exact same way, which is they ain't trying to hit that shit. That's racism. They're like, fuck that. And they ain't doing that for the Caucasian or the Irish or the motherfucking Jews or the motherfucking Mexicans. Not even the Mexicans in charge of this shit. They ain't even deport Mexicans no more. How the fuck do you do that? And they not even from here.
They people are standing up for them. You got people like our black leaders that's at the table. Yeah, put them motherfuckers in the fed joint. Yeah, put them all. Lock all these niggas up and clear our way and get rid of all these old niggas. You know, man, man, I done been in a room with people that sit up and call us cutting butt fucking niggas. Right here in Chicago. And then
They're not just doing it in Chicago. They're doing it in Detroit. They doing it in motherfucking in the entire state of Missouri. Wait a minute. They ain't doing it in the entire state of Illinois, but the entire fucking state of Missouri, the entire state of Iowa, entire fucking Ohio, the entire state of Michigan. These people. Y'all need to look. I'm telling you.
They're working together. And they've been working together since long, long ago. They've been working together now over 40, 50 years. They working together. Slave damn girls over in one line. All them damn house preachers over there. Them doing them, they were coming over there talking about black power, show power, black, I'm proud, all that bullshit. When we looked up in the end, everybody that was out there on the street giving their lives and giving their lives to the penitentiary, to the graveyard, they didn't get shit. The preachers walk away with the whole community along with the university. Same way with this other shit. They got all this other shit running around here, man. All this was, they turning this damn city into all white, get rid of the Irish, the Jews, the Italians, Everybody, the Mexicans, the Hispanics,
brother,
they moved in, but they pushed my black asses out.
Talking about,
ass.
Brother, I ain't talking about just this city. I need people from Alaska. I need people from Detroit. I need people from Missouri. I need people from motherfucking Ohio, motherfuckers from Michigan, and all them other states. I need them to understand these motherfuckers is not thinking about us.
Never have.
We have.
Okay.
We are not on their agenda. We need to do for
never
us.
We never have been on the agenda.
Them
okay.
And fuck with us.
Okay.
Period.
Hold on, man.
We never have been on the agenda. And when we were fucking with ourselves, shit, look what happened. When we had our own Wall Street, we had our own shit, look what happened. Man, black folks turned against each other for a little dollar. Stop killing each other like dogs, man. We have made trillions of dollars in the black community, but we haven't benefited number from the damn death and destruction of it. It wasn't like we wasn't getting down now. We were getting down. Huh. We were getting down. We were doing it. We were making that money, but we were killing our own people. And that ain't going to change. You know, I know y'all, you know, kind of upset about it.
You know,
but that ain't going to
change. You know, we're coming up on a mark here. I'm going to go ahead and close out the show here very soon. But one thing that I want to hear a little bit more of, I want to give everybody get a chance to go ahead and say something. It was white supremacy versus racism. I want everybody to take a couple of seconds to go ahead and give their views on what white supremacy is versus racism, because everything I've been hearing, you know, it wasn't just all our fault. Some other entities played a part in getting us to this stage and getting us to where how screwed up or how we are, or even if you think we're better off. But I still think that we are worse off than we ever have been. So, Brother Jerry, real quick, white supremacy versus racism. Brother Jerry? Hello? Anybody there?
I guess he dropped off.
I don't know. His line still like a little. Brother Jai, you can chime in on that if you want to.
Well, you know, I pretty much share my. I think they're one and the same. I would like to say, because they were talking about gang. I'm actually a former gang member here in Detroit, Michigan. For much of my young life, it took me many years to get out of it, and I'm currently a university student right now. And when I was a gang member, the reason I joined the gang was because all I saw was black people hurting each other. And that's what I knew, and that's what I thought it was. It wasn't until I got a little bit older that I saw a clearer picture and realized that there were different people playing roles in our oppression. And so I think that, you know, it's important for us to have discussions about this. But the most important thing is I don't want to just say that we have to have solutions, because we all know that. But it's time to stop really having silly arguments, you know. It's really about black business and economics and black education and us teaching our own babies, you know. When I was a gang member, and I ain't too far, I'm still in my 20s, so I ain't too far from it. I don't give a fuck, and still don't, about, you know, what the white man's laws was and how many niggas they was locking up right now or back in the day. The only thing, the reason I joined was because they had jobs. They had like gangs or not, they got an economic program. You know, they can put money in people's pockets. So, you know, if we want gangs to stop, we're going to have to come up with our own economic program to rival what they have. It's just simple supply and demand. I don't condone any of it. I'm a former gang member. But so I definitely don't condone it. But at the same time, I'm very realistic that, you know, if you're trying to compete with them, you're going to have to come with a real economic program and a real educational program. Because as long as we getting educated in these schools, most of these kids ain't never going to really see no reason to want to be a good citizen and active participant in this society. And I'll just leave with that.
Thanks, Brother John.
All right.
Go ahead. You got something to say,
Brother? Well, brothers, I can tell you this. we need to take care of our own and do what we need to do to make us better. I ain't thinking about nobody else. I'm thinking about us. Period and point.
Where you at, brother? Where you live at? What state you live in?
Illinois.
He up in mid year.
Oh, he out there with you. No, okay.
Yeah.
You over on that west side, huh?
Yeah.
No, I, you know?
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Brother Pianchi.
I agree with that. The young man said he used to be a gang member. He said some very pertinent things. One, you got to, you know, these people that's involved in these gangs, they don't want to be in the situation, but they don't have no other choice. First, they're going to starve to death now. So you're going to have to compete with them and give them something. The white folks ain't going to do that. And we got to do that ourselves. And then these knucklehead Negroes, these old heads, some of them are right, like Jerry said, right along with them. You're going to have to punish them. You're going to have to crack some kneecaps and do some other shit.
Back in the day, it was doing that.
A lot of this stuff that we are suffering from today was brought about because some of these old heads made these crazy-ass decisions,
mm-hmm.
and now we're suffering from it. So
mm-hmm.
that's
they
all I got to say.
With, here they go, man. They walk around with bodyguards. How you walking around in your own community with your own black people? How you scared of your own black people? You walk around with bodyguards. You got guns on you ready to kill your own people. So something constantly in your mind that you know what you have done to them. You know that you have fucked them over, sold them out, took a seat. All these universities, not just in Illinois, but all these universities are powerful. They run this shit. They run it. These universities run it. They run the political arena. And I know a lot of y'all say, well, we don't need to get in there. We need to, but listen, in the next 50 years, what else we got? In the next 100 years, what else we got? In the next 200 years, what else we got? We're going to have this same goddamn political arena. And if it gets better or worse, it'll be on us. Now, and I
hold on, Jerry. Hold on, Jerry. Hold on. Let me let Brother Jerome chime in. Jerome. Jerome, you still there? Uh-oh, this
guy. Keep going.
Oh, his line's still open. Go ahead, Brother Terrell. Go ahead, chime in.
Okay. Brother, put all of the gang shit, put all of that to the side, because I'm from the Shy, from the West Side, been there, done that. I ain't trying to hear that. The reason you walk around with bodyguards is because, okay, first of all, you done fucked up, and you already know. And you already know. Second of all, if you're not walking around with a bodyguard, guess what? You got a big-ass hand cannon sitting in your waist. Like, I ain't trying to hear that shit, because guess what? Them people, they get to your guys that's close to you because they know they can't get to you, so they're going to get to a motherfucker that's close to you so they can get you. That being said, with that being said, the reason the bodyguard is needed, because guess what? I don't want no motherfucker running up on me, because if a motherfucker run up on me, he can shank me. If a motherfucker run up on me, he can shoot me. Yeah, he can shoot me from way back when, but guess what? Maybe he don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he don't want to fucking do that. Fuck that. Don't get mad because a motherfucker walk around with a bodyguard, because a motherfucker already know.
Hold on. Hey, brothers, I got to go ahead and roll. I got some things I got to do. It's been great. I'm glad everybody showed up. We do the same thing on Thursday night. I got somebody I want to go ahead and bring in so they can go ahead and chime in, bring some information. So with that, brothers, I'd like to bid you a good night.
What good night? Bring him over here, Rob, whenever you get a chance.
Say that again.
Bring him over so we can go downtown to the city hall and go down and record our deeds, try to show him who bought all these goddamn projects and threw all these black folks out in the street, and he's gonna kill our own damn peoples.
I already know. Ooh. I got documents.
Okay, brother. I will. I'll be in the city on Thursday, man.
Oh, okay.
All right. Peace, everybody.